When I read this story about Zacchaeus this week, I thought about it that I had never preached on this simple story, and I thought it would do me some good to look at this story. And I have to admit that I felt just a little overwhelmed. There is so many aspects to this story that we could look at. Some of it is very applicable to children, which is why we call it a children's story sometimes. But it also has the gospel message hidden within it as well, which is so powerful. And I want to look at this gospel message titled the sermon this morning, Jesus and Zacchaeus, Seeking, Seeing, and Saving. Jesus and Zacchaeus, Seeking, Seeing, and Saving. And again, this is found in Luke 19, the first 10 verses. Jesus came to bring the gospel, we call it sometimes, to fallen man. Gospel simply means good news. There is something exciting. There is something good. There is something rich and full and meaningful about Jesus and about the way that he reached out to seek and to save the lost. Now, we could look at what all Zacchaeus did in this story, and we will look at some of that, but I want to particularly start by looking at what Jesus did for Zacchaeus. And think about what Jesus does for us and for the lost, and how we can, in turn, mirror that as we reach out to the lost about us. First of all, Jesus saw Zacchaeus. Just plain and simple. Jesus saw Zacchaeus. This man who climbed a tree, this man who was a chief tax collector, this man who was despised. Why was he despised? Well, the Romans collected taxes from the Jews. But Zacchaeus was a bit of a traitor. He joined the Romans in collecting taxes from his own people. Was he a crook? I don't know that for sure. He said, if I've taken anything that I shouldn't, I will restore fourfold. Perhaps he was. Perhaps he became rich through means that were not above board. I don't know that we can say that with certainty. But we know that he wasn't liked. Well, no, actually, we know that he was hated. People despised these men, these publicans. He was seen as a vile sinner, and he was to be treated with distrust. But as we read this story and as we look at Zacchaeus' response and the way that the things that he did to find Jesus, it appears like something was happening in his heart. Something was going on behind this mask of disrespect and behind this front of being rich and self-sufficient. Something was happening in the heart of Zacchaeus. Apparently, he had heard about Jesus. And I think it's interesting that Jesus was coming to Jericho. Jericho was the city many, many, many years before where the first Jesus, or Joshua, the one who was a type of Jesus, came and the walls fell down, and it seems as if Zacchaeus had these walls built around him, and they were starting to come down. He was letting them down. He wanted to get out from these things that were holding him back. He wanted a way to be redeemed, to be forgiven, and to be accepted. I would suppose that there are people in this world who are like Zacchaeus. People who feel surrounded by walls. People who, maybe they're not short in stature, but short on joy and short on meaning and purpose in life. And they're looking for someone that can help them. Jesus saw Zacchaeus. Jesus knew his need, and Jesus saw him. And just as he sees little children and he loves little children, he sees adults and he sees sinners and he sees the despised, and he loves them. And he comes to those who are in need. Through his word, through his spirit, he comes to little men and to little women who have found that the things of this world just don't satisfy, who found that money doesn't bring fulfillment and prestige doesn't bring acceptance, and who have found that all that the world has to offer is never enough. He comes to us today. We don't need a sycamore tree. We don't need to climb a tree to see Jesus. Jesus sees us where we are, and Jesus knows us, and he is the one that's drawing us to himself. I just want to remind you again that it doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter so much who you are. Jesus loved Zacchaeus. He saw the real Zacchaeus, and he sees the real you, and he sees the real me. And he wants to make something out of our lives. Jesus saw Zacchaeus. Secondly, Jesus welcomed Zacchaeus. Now, this was viewed by many as a terrible social blunder. This was legally forbidden for a righteous Jew to go and eat with a sinner. The Pharisees had said, no, well, we talk about shunning today. Zacchaeus was shunned, as it were. He was legally forbidden to mingle with a good, righteous Jew, or at least supposedly. But Jesus said, I'm coming to your place, Zacchaeus. I'm coming. I want to. For today I must abide at thy house. We say that he wanted to come for dinner, or he wanted to come to his house for tea sometimes in the songs. It doesn't say this. He says, I want to come stay at your house. I want to come abide at your house. Jesus wasn't barging in, but Jesus was inviting Zacchaeus into a relationship. He was calling him into a loving relationship. Now, what's interesting to me is that Jesus was on his way to the cross. Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem when he stopped here in Jericho. All you have to do is turn forward in your Bible one or maybe two pages, and you will have Luke 22, where we have the beginning of Jesus. We have the Last Supper, and then moving into Jesus' trial and his crucifixion. This was just days, I suppose, from Jesus offering himself for the sins of the world. But in all of that, in Jesus' great purpose of saving the world and offering forgiveness of sins to every one of us, yet he took the time for a person that was seeking him, a person who was needy, a person who was dying as it were inside. Jesus is never too busy saving the world to stop and to save people like Zacchaeus and people like me and like you. And Jesus welcomed himself into the home of this man. Jesus, the one who was so lowly, born in a stable, born of a virgin, died a criminal's death on a criminal's cross, buried in a borrowed tomb. He still comes to lowly places, and he still comes to lowly peoples, and he still comes to the hearts of people that are seeking. He comes to you, and he comes to me. Isn't this the way we should be as churches and as people of God? I think about our singing in the park this evening. Sometimes we can kind of, at least I can, get a little sidetracked by just this big picture of reaching out to the world and supporting missions. I think we can learn from Jesus to get one-on-one with people. He stopped and he saw Zacchaeus and he welcomed him. Welcomed himself into the home of this man. I think it's important for us to get right where people are, in their quiet lives, in their desperate situations, and offer hope. Offer Jesus to them. Jesus cares about individuals, even in the midst of the masses and the throngs of people who call him. That's Jesus' way, to stop along the road to help others. And thirdly, Jesus changed Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus was a changed man, we see in this story. It appears like Zacchaeus was a changed man before Jesus ever made it to his house. Doesn't it say? He came down out of the tree and received him joyfully. What a change in this man. I don't know for sure that he was a sullen man, but we can suppose that his emptiness probably brought with it some sullenness. His needs, his handicap maybe, the things that held him back perhaps weighed him down. But here he comes down out of the tree joyfully. And then we see him standing up after he met with Christ and making this amazing declaration. Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I've taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. Now, how did this change happen? Who was responsible for this change? It was both. I know it was. But this morning I want to especially focus on Jesus calling Zacchaeus and changing him by his love and by his call. Ephesians says, for by grace, Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of your works is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. We read in James about this balance between faith and works, and sometimes we struggle to know what all that is. I just think it's fascinating in this story that before Zacchaeus ever made his restitution, he came down out of the tree and received Christ joyfully. By faith, he was saved. And yes, we have amazing fruit that came from his life. It is the fruit of faith. Joy is the response of faith. Restitution is the fruit of faith. Giving and giving up is also a fruit and a work that our faith will produce when we have a transformed heart. This is the amazing gospel that anyone in any situation, from any past, whatever it is, Christ calls, Christ welcomes, Christ sees, and Christ, through his power, he changes. We do need his touch today. He never withholds his love from those who desire to be changed into a new creature in Christ. The story ends with Jesus giving this declaration or this announcement. This day is salvation come to this house, for as much as he also is a son of Abraham, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. That is why Jesus came. That's why he traveled this road through Jericho. That's why he continued on to Jerusalem, because he came to seek and to save that which was lost. And that is the gospel. That is the good news that we find in Zacchaeus' story. He sees us, he welcomes us, and he changes us. And so I want to lift up this Jesus to you this morning. Jesus is seeking and saving the lost. If he's calling you, don't turn that away. But I trust this morning that I'm speaking primarily to a group of people who have accepted that call. And as I thought about this story beyond the initial call of responding to Jesus, I think there is a desire, at least there is a desire in my heart, to want to see Jesus on a continual basis. There are times where the busyness of life and the throngs of people make us feel like we can't quite see Jesus. They're blocking us from Christ. Can you identify with that? I heard someone say just recently in this congregation that they really desire to see God. And I resonated with that because my mind had been thinking those same things and my prayers had been going down some of those same lines. God, I want to see you. I really want to know you. What difference does it make if we really see Jesus? How do we know if we really see Jesus? Have you seen Jesus? Have you seen the face of God? Let me read a few verses to you. As I thought about this, is it a right desire to want to see the face of God? David said, in Psalm 42, as the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? And he begins to set himself in a position before God, and he assumes that there is a place that he can go to see God. He says in Psalm 17:15, as for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness. I will behold thy face. Is that for today or is that for the future? 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and what? Seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Job said, for I know that my Redeemer liveth and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God, whom I shall see for myself, and mine eyes shall behold, and not another, though my reins be consumed within me. And then we have the testimony of Isaiah. In the year that King Uzziah died, Isaiah 6, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Jesus said in Matthew 5, verse 8, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall, what? See God. And then we have in Revelation 1, verse 7, behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him. And they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth, shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. There is a time coming where we will see God face to face. But I think from these verses that there's also a place and a time here for us today, an opportunity to see God, to really see him. What happens when we see the face of God? And what is it that, yes, there was throngs. There was a handicap, we could say, that kept Zacchaeus from seeing Jesus. What is it that keeps us from seeing Jesus today? Or what is it that we can do? Zacchaeus had to go climb a tree. Is there something we can do to really see Jesus? As I thought about this, my mind went back to the previous chapter that I had just read in Luke. And there is a whole string of stories about people who wanted to see God in one way or another, wanted to be with him, wanted eternal life, wanted to see Jesus. I'm going to read down through these quickly. I'm not going to make a lot of comments, but I want to just point out to you the things that lead us in our search to see God. What is it that leads us to seeing the face of God? Luke chapter 18. And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint, saying, there was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? One of the things that leads us in this journey, in this quest, in this desire to see God is persistent prayer. This widow kept coming again and again. And we see a little bit of, like, disgust. Like, oh, she just keeps coming. And God says, but if he changed his mind, how much more will I, a loving father, answer the cry of mine elect? You want to see the face of God? Be persistent in prayer. Continue seeking his face through prayer. He will show himself to us. Let's continue reading. And he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves, that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee, the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week, I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. One of the things that will lead us to the face of God is a heart of humility, like this poor man who wouldn't even lift up his eyes to heaven. He recognized his sinfulness. Have you forgotten that we are publicans? We are Zacchaeus. We are sinners. Let's humble ourselves before the face of God, and he will show himself to us. Verse 15, and they brought unto him also infants, that he would touch them. But when his disciples saw it, they rebuked them. But Jesus called them unto him and said, Suffer little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child shall in no wise enter therein. You want to enter the kingdom? You want to see the face of God? Jesus calls us to be like children, childlikeness, humility, trusting, whatever all it is. The faith of a child amazes me sometimes. God calls us to childlikeness. We read next of the rich young ruler, verse 18. And a certain ruler asked him, saying, Good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? Another person seeking eternal life, seeking to really know God, to really see God. Something was missing. And Jesus said unto him, Why callest thou me good? None is good save one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not kill. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Honor thy father and thy mother. And he said, All these have I kept from my youth up. Now when Jesus heard these things, he said unto him, Yet lackest thou one thing. Sell all that thou hast, and distribute unto the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come, follow me. And when he heard this, he was very sorrowful, for he was very rich. And when Jesus saw that he was very sorrowful, he said, How hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? For it is easier for a camel to go through a needle's eye than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. And they that heard it said, Who then can be saved? Who then can see God? And he said, The things which are impossible with men are possible with God. What did Jesus call this rich young ruler too? And what does he call those who are seeking his face to? Lay up treasure in heaven. Send your treasure on ahead. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. This is the teachings of Christ. Reading on, verse 28. We have Peter and the disciples. Then Peter said, Lo, we have left all and followed thee. What were they seeking? They were seeking to know God. And he said unto them, Verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house or parents or brethren or wife or children for the kingdom of God's sake, who shall not receive manifold more in this present time and in the world to come, life everlasting. Jesus said, You want to seek me? You want to follow me? You want to see me? You're going to have to lay down some things. Self-sacrificing, discipleship, forgoing the temporal pleasures of this world, laying them down for things that are eternal. And there will be a reward for that. Verse 31, we have the disciples again. Then he took unto him the 12 and said unto them, Behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and all these things that are written by the prophets concerning the Son of Man shall be accomplished. For he shall be delivered unto the Gentiles, and shall be mocked, and spitefully entreated, and spitted on. And they shall scourge him, and put him to death, and the third day he shall rise again. He's talking about his own suffering and death, and they understood none of these things. And this saying was hid from them, neither knew they the things which were spoken. There was something that was keeping them from seeing what was about to happen, keeping them from seeing what Jesus' real purpose was and what his journey was over the next few days. What was it that was keeping them from seeing that? I don't know how you would word this one, and I don't know how to say it other than they were kind of stuck in a box. They had their own perspective of what Jesus' mission was and what he was here to accomplish. And they were blinded by short-sightedness and a physical kingdom, a temporal kingdom, instead of Jesus' eternal purpose that came through suffering and through death. Somehow, sometimes it's our short-sightedness, our unwillingness to look beyond what we easily accept and what's comfortable to us, perhaps. We have in verse 35 a very clear picture of somebody who couldn't see. And it came to pass that he was come nigh unto Jericho. A certain blind man sat by the wayside begging. He couldn't see because he was blind. And he heard the multitude pass by, and he asked what it meant. And they told him that Jesus of Nazareth passeth by. And he cried, saying, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And they which were before rebuked him that he should hold his peace. But he cried so much the more, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood and commanded him to be brought unto him. And when he was come near, he asked him, saying, what wilt that I shall do unto thee? And he said, Lord, that I may receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, receive thy sight, thy faith hath saved thee. And immediately he received his sight and followed him, glorifying God. And all the people, when they saw it, gave praise unto God. What was it that this blind beggar needed? He needed Jesus to open his eyes. He really did. But when Jesus asked him, what shall I do for you? When he finally had Jesus in front of him, what did he say? He was as honest and real and down to earth as can be. Lord, it's my sight. He knew it was his eyes, and he told Jesus exactly what he wanted. And I think that kind of honesty and faith goes a long way in our quest to see Jesus. Tell God that you want to see him, that you want to know him in a deeper and a fuller way. That's what I need to do. That's what you need to do. And then we have the story of Zacchaeus, which we've been looking at. What was it about Zacchaeus that actually led him to Jesus? His willingness to keep pressing despite the obstacles stands out to me. There were so many things that could have stood in the way. It was his height that could have kept him away from Jesus. His reputation was at stake. That could have kept him away from Jesus. Maybe it was his expensive robe climbing that rough sycamore tree that could have kept him away. His job, fear of losing that, or a lot of other fears. These things could have kept him from seeing Jesus. But he climbed up and he pressed on despite obstacles, because he wanted to see Jesus. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him. Those words are special to me. Zacchaeus sought to see Jesus in verse 4. And in verse 5, Jesus saw him. What was the result of him seeing Jesus? We talked about this a little bit already. What does an encounter with Jesus do for you and I today? Well, joy is certainly an outflowing of that. If we lack joy and purpose in life, maybe we need to see Jesus. Maybe we need to meet Jesus again. Maybe we need to climb some obstacles so we can fix our eyes on the Christ. There was a marked change in his life. There was repentance. There was things that he turned away from. There was choices that he made. There was surrender. I don't think Jesus asked him to do that, but as he experienced Jesus and as he saw Jesus, he knew that surrender and giving up and sacrificing was part of the plan, and it's no less for you and I today. Zacchaeus is an inspiration to me. I think it's special that he got to see Jesus, but I think it's even more blessed that you and I have the opportunity today to see Jesus. He's calling us. He's walking under our tree, as it were. Let's overcome the obstacles that stand in our way. Let's lay down our own reputation, whatever it is that's keeping us from seeing Christ and seeing God for who he really is, because it is life-changing, and we all need that. Let's kneel for prayer.